Brendan. What's going on?
The podcasting.
All right.
As per usual.
Yes, yes. We are podcasting on Election Day.
Yeah.
Of all days. We're not going to address it in the podcast because we have so much other stuff
to
talk
about.
Yeah,
we don't want to spoil it for you.
Spoiler alert, there was an election today.
So, yeah, I hope whoever's team you were on wins. I hope.
I don't know about that.
Okay. We're not so magnanimous.
There is one team that I'm pretty sure I'm not cool with them winning.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to say who it is. Probably not hard to figure out.
No.
But I'm not going to say it.
Yes. Yes. Keep that secret.
Does their colors rhyme with schmlu?
That's not a word. But that voice you just heard.
Who is that?
That is returning champion, David McGuire.
Ah, friend of the podcast and the second appearance on the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That's a record.
Yes! I get to wear the belt first. Thank you so much for having me back. I appreciate it.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this gives us a better chance to talk to you. Not so much about LA Confidential this time.
Right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people may have missed out on your contribution because they listened to it and said, oh, I have not listened or seen LA Confidential. I will skip this episode.
You were pretty emphatic about that at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, I figured more people had seen LA Confidential.
Oh, did you guys look at the numbers and you guys didn't have as many listens as prior weeks? Or
Something
like that. I don't know. We actually don't have that good of statistics yet.
Oh, okay.
In the system. Although we did just receive enough Facebook likes.
Yeah, we now get Facebook analytics.
Yeah, so we now get Facebook analytics, but they don't count retroactively.
No.
So we can't see any of the stuff that happened before.
Oh, yesterday. The whole like who's like, talking about you?
Yes.
Who have you reached?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The thing's a pain.
Yeah. I just think it's
it's only a pain because as you're watching, you're like, and this week, no one's talked about us.
Yes.
Darn it.
They hate us.
Yeah.
I quit.
Right.
But if you're listening now, I assume you don't hate us.
Yes. If you're listening
now. At least tolerate us.
In fact, I will go so far as to say, if you're listening now, I love you.
I second that.
Yeah,
we're cool. We just met.
Yeah, we're not so stats heavy. This is a labor of love.
Yeah,
or time filling.
It's the quality, not the quantity of listeners.
Yes,
agree.
We're going for.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
If you're listening, you're a quality listener.
Exactly. And if you're listening to this one, especially because you want to know who David is, let's find out. What's your 4 second your elevator pitch?
My elevator pitch.
Go.
I'm a local. I also am part of a podcast that you may not have heard, but if you would like to, it's called Nerds on Film. You can reach it at nerdonomy.com. I write in my spare time, and I like Chardonnay.
Excellent.
Thought I would go a little deep there.
Yeah. I don't know how to respond. I'm kind of like
you're more of a Merlot man. I understand. It's
no,
okay.
No, this is a Scotch podcast.
Yes.
I got off on the wrong floor, apparently.
Fueled by the McAllen.
Boy.
Actually, I'm more of a Highland Park person.
Yeah,
I'm
more Chivas Regal myself.
Okay, all right.
In fact, I actually like beer more than I do like Chardonnay.
Nice. Yes. Okay. See? Real.
Yeah.
Real. Getting to the truth here. Excellent. How long have you been podcasting?
Oh, wow. I think we're 11 episodes in, and we've been doing it for probably about a month and a half to 2 months.
That's cool.
So we're still new, and we just hit a milestone of, I think, breaking 100 subscribers. So, you know, at least there's a good chunk of people that are listening, so that's always encouraging.
Yeah, excellent.
So we are, thank you. Yeah, we're just getting our traction going, so we're still trying to find our
And what's groove. The, I mean, the title probably gives it away.
So we like to talk about physics.
Spoiler
yeah, so the format is we look at movie news, and then the three of us, there's three of us in the podcast, and we just talk about the movie news that's going on. And prior episode, like this last episode, we talked about the acquisition, as everyone,
we may have also mentioned
What acquisition?
Oh, maybe you guys didn't hear. So Disney now owns Star Wars, and
That acquisition,
yes,
the huge tectonic plate moving acquisition in the nerd world,
right?
we might have talked
the transaction
that.
Heard around the world. So we just sit and we talk about movies, and it's a very similar format to what you guys have. Very open, very free, and ultimately we come down to a point about talking about movies, which I love to do. I mean, I think if that was a job, I would love to do that. But everybody hates critics. So,
it's a better hobby.
It's a better hobby. Because
Who can really get mad at you for being critical of something if, you know?
Right. You'd be like, guys, it's just my opinion. I'm not getting paid for this. Right. Yeah. So, no, it's a lot of fun. And it's actually my first podcast ever. Like, my first endeavor into podcasting. So, and which is kind of funny because I only just recently got into podcasting, and it's primarily because of you. So, Brendan, because we used to work together. And
get a room!
No, let him finish.
You're so kind. Because he used to tell me about a lot of these podcasts that he would listen to, like Nerdist. And that was actually how we got started. I listened to Nerdist. Mm-hmm. And then that was super intriguing to listen to people like Vince Gilligan and Damon Lindelof and folks of that sort talk about the writing process, because that's what I really like to do. And so, and of course, that was, like the gateway drug. And so it got me into like the Tobolowsky files. And now I've kind of settled on how did this get made, because that's it's the one that gets me through like the drive back home from work to home. Because I'm just like, I want to hear about a crappy movie and hear you guys just be in awe of how craptastic it is. Yeah. So it's a fun medium. I love it.
Yeah, and it's really I really like it because I miss, and I think I've talked about this a little bit. I miss
maybe a couple times.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're just gonna take that trip down memory lane one more time. But
he's telling me I'm new. I don't know what's going on.
Right. Exactly. How does he know that I used to talk about this all the time?
Because he listens on the podcast.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
Of course. But I like to hear it.
So I used to be a DJ in back at Cal Poly, and I had my own show pretty much every quarter that I could have had a show. I had a show.
Oh, nice.
So I'm not like professional broadcaster or anything, but I liked talking on air with people. I think my favorite time on the shows, I had I took over for a quarter a talk show, a news kind of interview talk show and stuff like that, and that was just really fun. And so that has stuck.
That just gave me a great idea. What if we had a talk show? Like you said, you like talking to people. What if you talk to things other than people on a podcast? Like a cat chat show where you ask cats questions.
It might be.
And then would you just sound like you're a crazy person? Or
so, Whiskers, it says here that you are 3 years old, cat years. How's that for you?
Or you could interview, the animals that are in movies, like, so what was it like working with Clint Eastwood on Every Which Way But Loose? Yeah, interview the monkey.
I will look at this for when our podcast.
If Clint Eastwood can talk to a chair, I can interview a cat.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So was your show like typical? Little bit of chat and the music, or were you strictly talk radio?
Oh, so I had so every quarter I had a music show.
Okay.
But then for one quarter, actually two quarters in a row, I did it was called Talk of the Town, and it was just interviewing people from around the town. Like we interviewed like one of the city planners in San Luis Obispo. We interviewed a guy who was running for
City Council?
City Council, yes, indeed. See, look at that. Well done. You win a spot on the Not a Thing podcast.
Yeah. Wait, I lost my spot. Why are you really here, David?
Is this a Alan, coup? It's time we should probably tell him the
Is
truth.
Is this a podcast coup? Not down with that.
Yeah. So I that's why I like it. So I haven't done any any podcasting or anything like that, you know, before that. I did do, I've done like a very, very minor amount of voiceover work. So,
oh, cool.
That's been fun. I wish I had gotten more into that. I feel like there's just not a lot of opportunities for for my voice, kind of voice profile. Apparently there's, I have to sound like Morgan Freeman in order to be like, you know, in demand nowadays. So that's not really a thing.
It should work out then.
Yeah.
Just watch a lot of Shawshank.
Driving Miss Daisy. Just like
constant, you end up sounding like Tim Robbins. It's like, no, you're supposed to focus on the other guy.
Whatever.
You're being so obtuse. Yes.
Excellent. So another, I think it was the other thing that we wanted to talk about only because we, I was roped into this last week. I don't know if you heard, but at the end of the podcast last week, Brendan heavily suggested that I join him in National Novel Writing Month.
I threw down the gauntlet.
NaNoWriMo, which we could talk about a little bit, maybe.
Well, yeah, I think we got room to discuss that because you've accepted the challenge.
Yes, I have, and I have
also lived up to my end, and David has actually joined us.
I have, yeah.
Yeah, so it's an all writers podcast this week.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our processes, guys.
Everyone's writing, nobody's published.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm writing right now. I'm kind of
We're podcasting right
off
now.
Right, good point. But I'm kind of off par. So par for the course is supposed to be, you're supposed to write 50,000 words in a month is the...
1,600 plus a day.
Right, right. I think... Actually, is it that many? I feel like
it's
it was
1,667.
Right, right. Yeah. So what's funny is the software I'm using, every day that I don't write, it adds a little bit to the target. So if I wanted to, you know, it says like right now because I've dropped like 2 days. It's like, oh, if I write 1,800 words today, then I will make it. So I have to write 1,800 words every day for the rest of the
time. It just gets bigger and bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm that far behind,
but
I'm pretty far behind.
Yeah, I'm not, I think
as of today, we're supposed to be at 10,000. 10,000 words.
That kind of makes sense because it's
right,
like 7 days in. And right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, no, I'm not there.
No.
not quite. But we're still in there.
Right.
I had a good stride last week, and then life got in the way, and I keep looking at my score, and I'm like, oh my god, well, 24.
To hit that number, I mean, that's what you're doing for this month, is you're writing.
Right.
Yeah. All your free time, other than podcasting.
You're not going and spending time with friends, you're not going to the movies, you're writing.
Well, there is some degree of, I mean, one of the things in the, you know, when you're, one of the articles that they have on the site is, you know, if you are stuck writing, you should change your mode or you should, you know, take a break and then get into it. But there is such an emphasis on writing without editing, which I find really, really hard.
Yeah,
I can't. Because
I'll write it and be like, you know, I should really restructure this. And, oh, I should have said this instead.
Mm-hmm.
And let me go back and then redo it. And it's, you know, it's not the way you're supposed to do it. They really want to separate the writing from the editing, and in fact not do the editing. There's not a focus on that.
I think at this point I'd be happier with like 30,000 words of good writing than 50,000 words of crap that I'm gonna have to fix later.
Well, that's what you spend the whole month of December doing.
That's what they say.
Right.
But my brain is trained to do the least amount of work necessary, so it's easier to edit as you go along.
Right. It's very much the bad habits from
school.
From school, yeah, it really is. Because like in school, they, you know, you're supposed to do like the 5-paragraph essay, and you're supposed to do it in this amount of time, and so there's very much a like I can write in very short chunks pretty well, but as soon as I have to, you know, spread it out, especially on something that's more than say 1,000 words or even more than that. Just like I have to get in such a different mode to outline and really structure it and put everything together, and it's very, very difficult for me to like keep that amount of focus. And so what I've been doing is before I write, I have like a very vague, like, I'm going to write like these three scenes, and each of those scenes I try and keep to like 500 to 700 words.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that when I was successful in writing, which hasn't been today or yesterday or the day before, unfortunately, but when I was successful in writing, I was able to knock out like 1,200 words very quickly because I was writing in such smaller chunks.
Mm.
And that was much easier for me to do. And I think if, you know, I'm much more cognizant of the process this time around, because last time I just, like, I would write and write and write, and I was doing pretty well, but I definitely burned out after about 8 days, and then I fell off the wagon, and then I never got back on, because I only got to like 9,000 words or whatever.
And you were consistently doing it every day for 8 days.
It was every day until, and then I dropped like 2 days in a row, When I tried to get back on, it was like, I don't even want to.
But you know what you didn't have last time that you have this time?
Mm.
Shame.
Yes.
I will shame you so bad.
I think that's what this is about. I mean, that's what part of this is, right? We've all like kind of added each other as writing buddies.
And right.
I think that is a definite like thing, you know, accountability is.
No, I will admit that I went to sleep with the word count lead. And when I woke up, you two jokers had gotten up 2 hours before me and written like 1,000 words. And first thing when I woke up was, all right, well, I got to fix that.
But daylight savings time. Yeah, exactly. Had to be something good coming out of waking up an hour early, right?
On
Sunday. So
it was your muse.
Yeah, exactly. But it would be good to get back on that horse and then knock out some more words. So hopefully that'll happen soon. Did either of you have like a really rigid outline or concept, or how did you get started for your pieces of it? Because I know that when I wrote, I had like a pretty good chunk of a story that kind of I had in my head, like, but not really written out. And then on the first day, I took a lot of time and wrote all that out. And then I started writing, and then on the second day I was like, "Meh," and kind of threw a good chunk of that out. And so, like, my initial process has changed at least twice since starting this time around.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
mine actually. So my story is one that I've actually been working on in my head for a good 6-7 years.
Wow.
So I got the concept when I was just out of high school, mm-hmm. and it was based off of a personal experience that I had. And so, because that's when I really thought that writing was something that I wanted to try to do, mm-hmm. I went to a couple of friends and I said, hey, there's this issue I'm having. I really want to turn it into a screenplay. Let's try to do it. So for that entire summer after I graduated, we met at a Starbucks and sat outside and had coffee, and I was smoking at the time, so we'd like go through like 2 packs in like an hour and a half, because everybody's just like bumming off of each other. But over that course of the summer, over 3 months, we wrote an entire 110-page script,
mm-hmm.
and it's shit. It was just absolutely horrible, but it was.
We have an explicit tag, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Are we okay to spoil
this? No, we're good.
Okay.
That's why we put it on there.
Right.
Because it was just really, I mean, it was the first time any of us had tried to accomplish something like that. So the fact that we even attempted to do that, I give us kudos.
Sure.
The fact, but there was like 5 cooks in the kitchen too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was actually a really cool
process.
Well, it was great because it was almost like doing like a writer's circle for like a TV show. Mm-hmm. So it would be, someone would actually be the stenographer, and then you'd have the other people say, what if they did this? And then we would talk about it, and then we would put it on paper. And so it was very collaborative, and you know, we had a really good time, and it was really less about the project and more about just us getting together once a week to shoot the shit and
kill your lungs.
Right. Yeah. Kill our lungs. But you know, it was a story that I really always kind of felt was something I wanted to tell. And so after we finished writing it, we had this insane notion that we were going to be the ones that were going to film it. We thought, okay, we'll write it and then we'll make it and then we'll just submit it and everyone's going to love it and we'll get Oscars. And so, And this is what like a post-graduated 18-year-old is thinking. He's like, it can't be that hard, right? I mean,
right.
It's like changing a tire. You just got to take some things off, put some things back on, you're fine. And so we finished it, and clearly it didn't go anywhere. Like, none of us had the oomph and the drive, and the school year had finished, or the summer had finished, the new school year had started, college got in the way, and life just kind of took over, and it kind of went into a dusty, dusty corner to die. But it always remained in my head as something that was kind of unfinished. And so over the course of these next 6 to 7 years, every so often it would creep back up in my head as like, hey, remember that script you tried to write? Maybe you should try to do that again. And so I tried 3 or 4 different times to write it as a script. And it was from one perspective of a female and her trying to deal with an issue. And I kept trying and trying and trying, and it just never went anywhere. And I could never find – I was doing the whole self-editing as I go, so sure. I could never find an opening that would really fit. And then as I tried to think about it, because my process is like, oh, sounded really pretentious, but my process, gentlemen.
Yeah.
My thought process is that I'll think about it, and I can kind of timeline it in my head. To say, okay, this event has to happen because that's the catalyst for this and so on and so on. So I never really had to like write down an outline. And every time I try to write down an outline, I get bored like halfway through and I'm like, oh, I could just be writing the real thing. Let's just go into it.
Exactly.
Because I'm always just like, this is just a waste of time. And so I tried and I tried and it never could happen. And so I kind of just resolved to have it be one of those things that I would let die, and then I would come back 10 years down the line, and then eventually I would, you know, try it again.
So this is your inception?
Yeah, well, it was actually, again, not to sound like I'm brown dosing here, but like it was your challenge, because you put up the thing about, you know, the write a novel, and I was like, well, you know, I'm not doing anything, because typically I'll be in a play, which will take up most of my time, but that's not happening for the rest of the year, and so and I wanted to do something creative, and so I thought, okay, well, I'll take the challenge because maybe I can try to do something with this. But again, that story crept up. And so I looked at it and I thought, okay, well, how am I going to do this as a novel? Like, I don't know how that would be much better, because now I have to go even into more depth. And if I'm already having trouble just trying to do, like, interior room, and it's like, what's happening in the room?
Isn't it because we've worked on screenplay stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very different process writing for a novel than it is writing for a screenplay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
It takes a lot. Like, if it was like, okay, you need to write 1,600 words a day for a screenplay, it's dialogue. It's dialogue, dialogue, dialogue.
And then you're fretting over like, oh, they would never actually say it that way. Yeah. They would say it
but for a novel, it's like, there's so many things you need to work out in there.
Yeah, there's a lot more, just like, you know, setting the scene and internal kind of pressure and setting stuff up. There's just a lot more.
I find the character development of your characters in the because obviously, I don't know. I know you have a prologue. I wrote a prologue, which is leading into the story, and setting up those relationships between all those characters was murder.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a screenplay, it's just you saying, here's the scene where they meet, and you could do it off of the actor's looks. In the novel, you have to be, this is the room, this is the setting, this is what this character's thinking, this is what that character was thinking, rebut to that, and so on and so forth. Which, thankfully, for that little bit that I've written, it came out naturally. I was like, oh, thank God. But then it's like, that's only one chapter.
Yeah.
That's only 2,400 words. There's far more characters that have yet to be introduced, and I'm going to be like, oh my goodness, how am I going to... You know, it's just, there's so much description, and it's almost like you're painting, and I'm not a good artist in any stretch of the imagination. Like, I can draw a stick figure quite well, but when it comes to like,
up on me.
So it's like, if you give me like a canvas and a brush, which is kind of what this book is, it's trying to paint that picture is just really, and I think that's why I love the challenge so much, is because it really stretches you to be like, okay, now I have to really get what's going on here in the head into the pages, so that way they see what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And that's just the biggest uphill pushing a boulder battle I've ever had to do.
I think it's a different style of writing than the screenwriting, because screenwriting, you're building a skeleton and you're going to eventually hand that off to someone who's going to direct it. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have their own influences on it. You have someone who's going to edit it, and they're going to have their own influences on how the product turns out in the end.
Right.
But if you're writing a novel, You're all those parts you have to put onto the page. Mm-hmm. There's no one else who's going to add anything to it. It's all you.
And you're not Albert Camus. I mean, you can't... I mean, if you're going to try to do that, you have to be minimalistic, but your minimalistic approach has to also be, you know, speak volumes. Because, like, there's a book called The Stranger by Albert Camus, which is literally one sentence... his sentence structure speaks volumes, but it's very simplistic when you read it. It's like, I grabbed the steak from the freezer. I put it on the pan. It sizzled. And then I put it on the plate. And it's just sentences that just go on like that.
He was a philosopher, too.
But yeah. So what you're saying is we should all go back and take philosophy classes.
And... No. I'm saying we write this for a month.
Yeah. And then we see where we're at.
So here's an interesting question. What voice is everyone writing in? I'm writing it's first person, but the narrator, at least I'm the way I'm going with it, the narrator is not the main character, so the narrator is just like kind of telling the story.
Well, what type of story? What's the general? Is it an adventure story?
It's kind of an adventure story for mine. And okay, so. It's like I guess, and you know, not thinking of it kind of until just now, is that it's kind of like I'm the sidekick, the narrator is the sidekick for the main character in the and describing kind of what's going on and how it is.
Okay, so you have the main character who is being told his name is being used, but the narrator is the one that's kind of the conduit for the
Mine's a kind of a hard boiled detective novel, so I kind of felt obligated to go first person.
Uh-huh.
So you also get that internal monologue,
right,
and all the action that's going on.
Yeah,
but the prologue I wrote third person,
mm-hmm.
So is it. A scene on a different character,
right,
and that who later gets introduced.
And are you going to change voice in between to do scenes, or is it going to be, or is it the prologue the only part?
The prologue's the only part. Okay, that's third. The rest should all be, I mean, as of now, how I've thought it out.
Yeah, right.
I've got another month, so you know, things can change. Like, or 3 weeks,
days.
Jesus,
20 days. Right.
Yeah, I did the third person approach, but the third person, the character. Because of the subject matter, which it's more of a
third person limited.
Yeah, because it's the third person, but also you his thoughts are vocalized on the paper, so sure. So there's a lot of that. But yeah, there's gonna be a lot of jumping around between characters. So I was actually talking about it with a friend who she and I kind of made this pact of, because she's a writer too. And she's writing this play, and she sent me like her first draft of it. And I said, that's really great. You should expand on it. And I was like, well, let's make this pact. Like, you do that, I'll do this. And we'll kind of like, you know, be the spotter for each other as we go on. And so I asked her, I was like, would it be weird if I jumped around? She goes, no, as long as you make the transitions. And I'm like, great. How am I going to do the transitions?
Which is why I chose a format. It lends itself to first person.
Right.
So, I think you can, I don't know. It's really... I think it's really interesting that you're doing that kind of collaboratively too,
mm-hmm.
as a way to kind of, you know, just get into it. I find it really difficult to be completely solo, like working on this project. And mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just because I don't have enough experience working on it, or if it's just because it's so freaking hard. Which, I mean, from last year, I know it was really hard, because last year I was the only person, like, I knew of one other person doing it, but she was kind of friend of a friend kind of thing, and it was like, oh, I just wrote another 1,500 words today. I'm like, great.
So yours, you have, Alan, you have a hard outline that you start out with.
Yeah.
And you did not have an outline, but you have a story.
I had a base, and so I flipped the... But basically how it came to be to where I'm at now is, you had told me the challenge, and, you know, if we're going to get kind of mystical here, is I on Halloween, my girlfriend's sister has this old teacher that she still connects with. And so the teacher came over and hung out, and she's this lovely old woman who like teaches English and everything. And so, but she does tarot. And so she did a tarot reading, and she's like, what do you want to know about? And I said, oh, well, I was like, writing, like, let's focus on that. And so the cards kind of told me this story that I had actually kind of been feeling, which I thought was kind of interesting that they did that, because it was saying that, you know, that I was feeling very creatively, you know, in a box, mm-hmm. and that something I'm about to do is something is going to awaken me, and then that something is going to have weight. And at the time, like, this is right at the time that you put the challenge out there, and I said, maybe I'll do that. And I was like, well, you know, I'll take this as a sign. Like, I'll do it. And so,
sure.
But when she asked me what the story was, I told her, and I was like, but I just don't know how to do it. And she goes, why don't you do it from this perspective? And I almost wanted to hit myself, because for like 6 years, I was like, how do I write this? And I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense.
You know, mine was kind of a mystical beginning too, actually.
Yeah.
I had, my original idea was based off of the pilot that we're working on.
Right, okay.
And I outlined that for a while. And then I sat down to dinner, and when I was finished with dinner, I was like, all right, now I'm going to start this thing. I sat down, and I completely, the thought hit me like, I don't want to do this. This isn't what I want to do. So I went, and I poured myself a glass of bourbon.
Equally as good as
and
tarot.
And from the bourbon came the story of an alcoholic private detective.
That's perfect. That's perfect. That's... Yeah, I have no excuse. I just like to drink when I write. I noticed
that. Hey, that's what the pros do.
apparently.
I have a glass of beer when I write.
Yeah. I,
if not two.
I had, let's see, last night I had a bullet bourbon, and two nights ago was a scotch. Yes.
It helps.
It does.
There is a limit, though. You go too much, and then
it's sloppy. You don't write.
It's sloppy. And then you don't write.
So is yours concretely outlined, or?
Well, that's the thing. I started out with, I had the glass of bourbon, and I was drinking it, and the character just kind of popped into my head.
Uh-huh.
Well, kind of popped back into my head, I should say. It was the protagonist is someone I came up with when I was in high school.
Nice.
And it was for like a creative writing assignment for school.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, those things never go anywhere. But just this character I had that I've had sitting in the back of my mind for a while kind of popped back in. And so I said, all right, who would be a person that he would interact with?
Mm-hmm.
And so then, bam, there's another character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, all right, I don't want to start right with him. So for the prologue, it's like, all right, I'm going to work with this other character. And I'm just going to build a scene and see where it goes from there. And it's bam, you got a scene. And then I started to kind of think, all right, how is this actually going to play out into a story? Which then formed the outline of, all right, these are going to be the major events. I like to start figuring out how everyone's going to die first. That's my first step is, all right, what's the lifespan on each of these characters?
With a detective story, I think you have to, right? Because you have to, obviously you're going to know what the catalyst is and what the ending is. Mm. But you got to figure out how you're going to get there. And of course, you got to plot everybody's...
Yeah.
It's going to be like the Back to the Future where it's like, okay, and then this timeline is actually...
But you got to whiteboard it with Doc Brown for you.
But I've just kind of alternated between writing and outlining.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have a bare outline and then I'll write another scene. And then, all right, so that gives me another idea for here. And then I'll add more to the outline. All right, so this is going to keep going. And it just keeps building out from there.
Okay.
So I've got a big bushy tree of words.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah.
And death.
Yeah. There's a lot of death. Spoiler alert. If you're ever going to read the thing I'm writing, it's got a high body count.
Awesome. Yeah, I think mine is very, I don't know. It's not as structured still. I think I'm getting better at the mechanics of writing, in that I'm like forcing myself to know like when I'm in the writing mode and how to get there, and getting better at doing that, but the overall structure is not as fleshed out. So that's gonna be interesting how I deal with that once my kind of idea farm starts to run, you know, run a little dry. Oh wow, that's kind of bad metaphor judging that. This is going to be a very hard writing assignment.
When your writing reservoir runs dry.
There we go. Thank you. Excellent. Well, I don't know if, I what other? We had a few other topics. I wasn't sure what was gonna work with our guests. So we kind of like not kept a very strict schedule time wise. But I know, you know, in the amount of time we have left, I think the thing that I want to talk about, and it's only because my wife is playing the game behind everyone as we're doing this podcast. Hi there.
I can't hear you when you wave, Julie.
Hello.
Yeah, she's playing Assassin's Creed 2 Revelations, if I'm remembering correctly, to catch up because Assassin's Creed 3 just came out.
Which you have been playing.
Which I've been playing very, very, very shortly. So the big deal for Assassin's Creed 3 is that it's set during the American Revolution, which I think is an interesting setting. But one thing that that I read on Reddit, of course, how many of these show topics are coming out of Reddit? We have to really, we have to get them to sponsor us. That's what we
audio
got.
Reddit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure someone's already. But anyway, that one of the interesting topics that I saw was because they've done now essentially they've done the American Revolution in a game as a backdrop. What other kind of untapped, like historical or not, like backdrops would be cool for a game, not necessarily an Assassin's Creed game, but just kind of fun backdrop. So the one that that I think would be interesting would be the and I think of this wholly from a Grand Theft Auto kind of point of view, is that in the way Grand Theft Auto is kind of run is kind of like an anytime. They don't really have a good kind of like lockdown time frame. I think it would be really funny, or fun, actually not funny necessarily. It'd be really fun to do kind of a like 1980s, like cocaine everywhere kind of backdrop, but like kind of Miami Vice-y. And well, like
there was Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
There was Vice City, but I think maybe not Grand Theft Auto then. Like a more
RPG.
Like yeah, well I want like an LA Noir kind of game, but
LA Noir set in the '80s.
Right. That's what I want.
But with better mechanics.
Big hair and everything. Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah. That's another thing is that unfortunately, Eleanor like suffered from a lot of.
There's a lot of things I liked about the game.
Yeah,
mainly the setting.
Yeah.
Oh, I really wanted to play it. It was not good.
The the gameplay itself is actually kind of bad. So there's a couple scenes where you have to like fight somebody. I mean, there's shooting, and the shooting mechanics are okay, but the fighting mechanics are horrible. You're third person and you can rotate the camera, but like the fighting is done like you have to hold in the direction, and like I don't know, I'm not sure how to describe how
it's bad. Just,
oh, yeah, wow. Generally. It's just really bad. So like
then I would always think that, oh, I figured out this person's lying, and then they weren't lying. Or, oh, they're not lying. Yeah, they were lying.
Yeah.
Well, that maybe that might just be more on me.
That mechanic was actually really nice, I thought.
I can't wait for your book.
I know, right?
Okay, now my protagonist is not me.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that actually bothered me about that game, and really it shouldn't have, but because it came out after the Grand Theft Auto games, you play as a cop in L.A. Noir.
Yeah.
So you're not supposed to hurt civilians. You're not supposed to go rampaging around the city.
It gives you that ability?
No, you can't.
You can't.
Oh,
you can't do that. It's like the one part of Grand Theft Auto that makes it infinitely replayable. You can't do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I liked Red Dead Redemption so much. Because you play as a kind of, like, not... not completely clean, but not completely dirty kind of mercenary guy in the Old West.
Old Western Han Solo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did. I have that, and I tried to play it, and that's when I found out I was not good at gaming, because there's a level where you're supposed to be on a horse, and you have to chase the coyotes
out. No. The problem is the horse mechanics in that game.
Yeah, the horse mechanics are kind of crap.
Oh, thank God.
That's not you.
Because I was like, how am I going to... You know what? F this. I'm done.
Yeah. The... some of the, there was, I think, one where you're, like, racing your horse, and there's just, no, it's really, the control is just really bad.
Okay.
Like, everything else is fine, but the fun thing about that game was that you could put on a bandana, and if you put the bandana on, your actions did not affect your reputation in the game, because there's kind of a reputation meter for how good you are or how evil you are.
Oh, okay.
And so I was always playing kind of towards the good side, and so it was fun to put the bandana on and then just shoot everyone in the town. Just like blow off a little steam, kill everyone in the town.
Had a bad day.
Yeah, yeah. Put the mask on. I mean, that's what it is, right? That's what gaming is to some extent.
You know what? I would say for people that wanted to play LA Noire, watch the movie LA Confidential. Do that instead. You'll save hours of your life. They lifted a lot from that movie for the game.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Oh.
So, you know, Curtis Hanson is better than Rockstar or whoever made
it. And
that
then
game.
Listen to the Not a Thing podcast, episode 12B.
I was trying not to make it that obvious, but, you know, you said it, so continue.
Plug, plug.
I think a good time period, but I would love to see a game in feudal Japan.
Uh-huh.
In like a samurai. Maybe like not so much the premise of Last Samurai, but
Less Tom Cruise.
But
it would be a game in Japan, but it's got to be a white guy.
But I think that would be an interesting, cuz I don't think I've ever actually seen the samurai video game. As of now,
there's like
I'm sure there was one.
There's like strategy games set in feudal Japan,
Total War, Japan.
Total War, or like Shogun,
yeah,
but not like any sort of first person sworder or whatever it would be. Sword.
Person.
I think you just coined a new phrase.
Did they ever come out with a good pirate game?
The Pirates of the Caribbean were turned into a video game.
Yeah. Like I said, did they ever come out with a good pirate game? Like a good pirate RPG?
There was a pirate, Sid Meier, the Civilization guy, wrote...
Oh yeah, Sid Meier's Pirates.
There's a Pirates game, but it's not first person.
All right, well then I will rephrase. I want to see a pirate RPG.
Okay. Yeah.
That would be fun.
I think there could be a lot to do with that.
Yeah, yeah. You can get like privateering in there and... You know,
yeah, you'd be more of a pirate, or you'd be more of a privateer, depending on.
So you basically word. Grand Theft Auto as a pirate.
Grand Theft Auto on boats. Grand Theft boat. Piracy is Grand Theft
Aqua.
Grand Theft HMS Bounty. You know.
HMS Booty.
Yeah, like I remember Red Dead Redemption was called Grand Theft Iron Horse. Someone tried to call it that. I thought that was pretty good.
Nice.
But yeah, I think that that's a good background. I would like to see Vikings, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like all the fun.
But maybe a little less rapey. That may be a big hurdle.
I'm sorry, time out. Grand Theft Auto had a lot of rapiness going on in that game, if you really wanted.
I didn't.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Would not be above the...
What about a Mongol game?
A Mongol game?
Yeah. Hmm. Like Genghis Khan RPG.
Genghis Khan. Yeah, again, you'd want to tone down the rapiness.
But a little less rapey.
Perhaps. Yeah. But yeah, I could see that being a pretty good... Kind of back.
How about a Jesus video game?
All right, so
oh, that reminds me of one of my most favorite Penny Arcade comics. You know Penny Arcade?
Hmm.
It's a web comic that they're mostly kind of gamer oriented. So okay. They were making fun of the God of War game.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen God of War on the PS3? You play Kratos, the God of War, and you, the whole game is kind of set in a, like, quasi Greek mythology kind of setting, and so you end up being so mad at Ares, the God of War, that you, like, start, you know, you're at odds with him, so your goal is to, like, kill him, and in the way are all the other gods. So you're like, well, I'm going to fight Zeus, and I'm going to fight, you know, it kind of goes nuts. But they have a lot of interesting elements in the game. But over the course of the multiple games, you just kill, like every one of, like, the pantheon of gods. And so the comic was like, what are they going to do now? And then they have, like, Kratos, like, with the blades of chaos, like, flying through the air. And there's this, like, drawing. There's, like, the other panel is, you know, from the Sistine Chapel, God from the Sistine Chapel, like, with this, like, fire in his eyes and on the other side of the thing. And
yeah, Jesus. It'd have to go Old Testament.
Right. It was
Kratos versus stuff. Old Testament God.
Yeah. So it was good stuff for that. I think I'm not sure if they would actually go that way.
I don't think so.
No, maybe not. Would be a good setting though. Would be a good setting. Got that whole, you know, like walking on water power, and then kind of like I don't know. It's gonna be bad. Let's not alienate all our listeners on the first.
Slowly, gradually bring them in.
And then I won't bring up my King of King of the Zombies idea. Never mind.
Yeah. So this was fun. I've enjoyed having you on the podcast.
Oh, I'm glad I was able to come back. I had a lot of fun.
Thanks for trekking back out.
Sure. Yeah. It's nice to talk other than LA Confidential.
As fun as that was.
Show I have more to offer.
Which really, if you're listening to this and you've not seen that movie, go see the movie.
Right.
I don't have any deal with them. We're not making any money on this. Just for your own good.
Not? Why aren't we? We should be doing that.
Oh, well.
All right, we're going to try and do one that.
Okay, all right.
We'll I'm going to get Kurt Hansen.
I'll write Russell Crowe.
And I'll write...
I'm not going to call him because I don't want any phones involved at all.
Like how that's still topical.
Good stuff.
Well, actually, he is in the new movie, Man with Iron Fists.
That's true.
Is that tomorrow?
I think
it's already out.
It's already out? Okay. Yeah. Let's do a quick, like, what movies we want to see
thing. Yeah.
Because we haven't done that in a while.
Movies have been getting neglected aside from the entire movie episode we did.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Or that David and I did.
Right. Get to part.
Wah, wah.
Oh, there's Argo still out. I haven't seen that.
Yes.
Flight.
I've not seen that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cloud Atlas.
Yes.
Yes.
And as of this weekend, there will be Skyfall.
Skyfall.
Yeah. I think I'm most excited for Skyfall.
Yeah.
Me too. I feel like I need to watch Quantum of Solace just so I could watch Skyfall. Plus, just for my own records, I want to see Quantum of Solace.
Wait, you haven't seen it?
I didn't see it when it came out.
Oh, no. Well then, okay, you should watch it.
Because I would probably then I need to watch Casino
Actually,
Royale.
Yeah, you should, because it isn't really a good standalone movie, but as a sequel to Casino Royale, not, you know. I mean, it has some serious flaws, but...
Like the name of the movie, but anyway, whatever. I like Casino Royale a lot.
Yes.
And so Quantum of Solace was kind of a letdown for me after Casino Royale, but... Everything I've seen of Skyfall ad-wise is just like...
As long as Skyfall isn't some sort of American Beauty sequel, I'll be happy. Let's say Mendez.
Oh, I see.
I was wondering where you were going with
that. Yeah,
Skyfall.
I was like, where's the joke?
Although they could work that in into the when they have the intro scene with the song for the movie.
Sure.
Have a bunch of like...
Which, by the way, falling. That song is awesome.
I haven't heard it.
Adele's.
Oh, I've actually not heard it either. I heard about it and like
check
they
it.
Were gonna.
I've also
it's
heard
awesome.
About it.
She's from what it sounds like every Sean Connery,
like
you know,
Shirley Bassey. Kind
yeah,
of.
Very very
I can see
sexy.
That. Simon.
Yeah, very very sexy. Very. Jesus Christ.
Yikes.
Hey man.
Yeah.
Hey, no, it's an awesome song. It really rings true of old Bond. So
cool.
If that is good, if the movie's nearly as good as the song, I think we're in for a win.
Awesome. Oh, and Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, Wreck-It Ralph, yes.
I've heard good things.
I've heard good things, too. I think if I see Skyfall and Wreck-It Ralph and Cloud Atlas from that group, I'll be very happy, I think. I'll try and see the others, but there's Only so many hours in the day, and then this whole
writing
getting dark at 6 and the writing stuff. It's so, there's so much stuff.
Damn you, NaNoWriMo.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I'm not sorry.
I'm going to catch up. I am. Me too. I'm going to try. We're going
to
all try.
Friday to Saturday is going to be my day to get at least 20,000 words.
I know. You start doing the math and you're like, oh,
oh man. Well, until next week.
I guess until next time.
All right.